Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. This is going to be our best Shabbat ever. Every Shabbat. Every Shabbat is a great Shabbat ever. Why? Because we get to be here together. Why? Because we get to still praise our Father in heaven. So every Shabbat is a good Shabbat. Tom, what time did you text me yesterday? I mean, he texted me like first thing in the morning and said, 8 hours, 14 minutes, and 13 seconds to Shabbat.
But who's counting?
Who was counting? Who was counting? So I'm excited to be here. I'm always excited for Shabbat. I look forward to them each and every week. I look forward to having this special day with our Father. We get to separate. We need to come out of the craziness for a little while. And if we'll turn this off, we can really enjoy it. You know, if we can turn that down for just a little bit, we can really enjoy it and just separate ourselves from that craziness that's going on, that complete craziness, I'll just say. There's one thing, I was sitting here while the worship was going on, and this is a prayer that I pray sometimes when I'm worshiping by myself at home. And I think to myself, Father, it'd be so awesome. It's going to be so awesome when we can actually come into your presence without this, without this. Because even when you're praying, even when you're worshiping, this thing, you know, you start here and you go off here and you got to get yourself back over here. And there's going to be a day when we're not going to have to deal with that.
Amen.
There's going to be a day when we're not going to be apprehensive about worshiping him and coming into his presence. There's not going to be anything holding us back from just expressing ourselves to him. They don't do that today. The four creatures that are around the throne room say, holy, 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 holy. And when they do that, the elders throw their crowns before him. There's not going to be any apprehension. There's not going to be any unwillingness to reveal our worship to him and our praise to him. We're going to be completely free to do that.
Amen.
And it'd be good if we could practice a little bit of that now, you know. But, you know, some of us, you know, we'll get there. It takes a little time. It takes a little time to be able to express yourself and just thank him for who he is and what he's delivered us from and where he's taken us. And I made up my mind. I really don't care who's running the country. I'm going to praise him.
That's right.
I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I worshiped him before. I'm not going to change my mind now. Maybe I'll go a little harder with it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Ask him each and every day to fill us with his spirit afresh and fill us to anoint us and be able to walk in his power and do what he's asked us to do, because each one of us has a call in our lives to do that. And we need to understand that and be excited about it. These are exciting times that we're living in. He's chosen us for this time. It wasn't an accident. He could have had us born back in 1863. He didn't. Some of us he had born in 1962. Seems like a very long time ago. But it happened. So, Father, I ask for your breakthrough today, Father. I ask that you break down, Father, in the name of Yeshua, your Son, Father, any stronghold that is holding us back, Father, any wrong way of thinking, any spirit of fear, Father, that is intimidating us, that is holding us back, Father, I come against that in the name of Yeshua, your Son. Father, renew our minds, Father, that we may be able to express ourselves to you, Father. You are awesome.
Yes, you are.
Father, you spoke and creation happened. You spoke and we were created, Father, in our mother's womb, Father. And before a day came to pass, you had ordained our days, Father, before we were even born. Hallelujah. Father, before we were ever born, you had our lives designed for us. Help us walk according to that design. Help us not to get distracted, Father, and let our flesh take us off course. Help fear not hold us back because we don't have everything figured out. God, we give you praise and glory. And I ask for a blessing on this house before I even start. Father, anoint me. Do work in me, Father, just as an open vessel today to share what you have to share. If there's something, Father, I don't have written down in my little notes, take me there, Father. Father, in Yeshua's name, I ask that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to this house today. Father, to your children. Father, open our ears. Let our hearts receive your seed today, Father, that it may produce good fruit. Father, I pray a blessing over my brothers and sisters. Let us hear today, Father. Fill us afresh. Fill us with encouragement, Father. Fill us, Father, with a fresh breath from your throne room. Fill us with your Spirit, Father. Empower us with your grace and mercy. And we ask these things in Yeshua's name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we can go home now. Man, I'll tell you, I'm excited. And I can see. Discipleship. Discipleship. We're continuing on with our discipleship series that we began back on November 7th. Way back in November. Because I looked it up. And today, Tom asked me, and this was on the schedule, to teach on spiritual warfare. All right, I'll give it a go. It's maybe not be the typical standard warfare message you'd anticipate, but I'll give it a go. I'll give what my father gave me. So we'll do that. We'll do that. And before we do, I'd like to take us back where we started on November 7th, because we need to go back and remember why we're doing this. Because sometimes we just start trucking along and we forget why we're doing what we're doing. There was a series out there. We thought we were going to do a series. We're doing a series and we forget why we're doing the series. But I'm going to take us back to how we define discipleship back on November 7th. So what does a good teacher do? He plagiarizes. So I went out. Oh, like you have never done it. Like, you ain't gone out and got someone else's message and stuff. That's pretty good. So I went out and plagiarized against Tom. I went right out to our website and I looked at his notes and I said, if I'm going to give a definition on discipleship, I want it to be what he gave us. Discipleship in the English has the core idea of a person spreading religion, the religious doctrines of others, of another. Learning primarily through study. Seems reasonable. However, throughout the scriptures, one can see that there's a better English word for disciple. It's your definition, and you don't remember?
It was November. I'm 61. Hey, you discipline.
No! No! Tom, these are your notes. I took them right off the website.
Apprentice.
You know what? If he doesn't remember that, I'm going to do this more often.
He plagiarized. I'm trying to figure out who I read that from.
Well, I can tell you, maybe I can give you a hint. An apprentice would be one working with on-the-job training. That's how they start, right? Gary, you hire somebody to do stuff in your shop and your business, and you hire somebody in, and you put them with someone that knows what they're doing. And so that's an apprentice. You get someone that's going to be an electrician or a union worker or a carpenter or whatever, and you start, Matt's a carpenter, you start bringing him, hey, go work with Matt. He's a master carpenter. You go learn from him. Go spend a year with him. And after studying with the master, you're going to study with the master. A student has a, you know, they're going to possess the knowledge. And then there was an expectation. As you spend time with your teacher, as you spend time with your master, there's an expectation. When I taught about, now I can't remember what I taught about on discipleship. But I mentioned that there has to be a growth. A growth. You don't stay an apprentice forever. You don't stay an apprentice forever. You got to get moving sooner or later. If you're not moving, the person that's teaching you is going to go to the boss and say, Jim seems like a really nice guy, but this is probably not the right job for him. Right? That happens sometimes. That happens sometimes. So there was an expectancy that he or she should grow. They should grow in their skills. the apprentice, upon completion of his study, would duplicate, be a copy or an imitation of the skills and the knowledge of the original teacher whom he studied under. So there'd be a learning, there'd be pulling from that person so that we can take that and apply it to our lives and apply it to our trade and apply it to our skills and start developing into that person and being able to duplicate, mimic that person, that teacher. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 4:16. I use two of your scriptures too. You plagiarized from Mark and then you forgot what you said. Okay. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Paul urged the Corinthians. He said, hey, be imitators of me. Be imitators of me. I mean, Paul was a master Torah teacher. I mean, Pharisee, grew up in it. He's saying, hey, and now I got the knowledge of who Yeshua is. Copy me. Imitate me. I'm trying to show you what I've learned and what I've had to correct. And then in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it's the same thing. He said, be imitators of me. Why are you going to be imitators of me? Because I'm an imitator of Messiah. That's what Paul's saying. I'm just imitating what he's given me. So here, let me help you. He's not being arrogant. He's trying to help his congregation. He's trying to help the assembly. He's saying, hey, you're an apprentice. Look after me. Imitate me. Learn from me. And then one day you'll move in to your own role, your own leadership role. So that's discipleship. That's what we started with back in November in 1 John 2:6. We are reminded to walk as Yeshua's walks. If we're going to be a disciple of Him, if we're going to be a student of Him, at some point we're going to have to learn to walk like Him. And we're going to have to learn to deal with things like He dealt with things. And we've got the Brit Hadashah, we've got the New Testament that takes us through the Gospels, we've got the letters from those who spent time with Him, and they're teaching us how He walked. And I can promise you, He didn't have an emotional breakdown every time something didn't go His way. It didn't happen. It says, whoever claims to abide in Him must walk as Yeshua's walk. We have to have a halakha. We have to have a lifestyle. We have to have a purpose that's after our Master. And He's given us His Word. He's left it with us so that we can study that and we can learn to be students of Messiah. Amen. And Yeshua Himself instructed in Matthew 11:29. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. Take my yoke, my teaching. I came to teach you how to live out this thing, how to walk this thing properly. When He came into the world, it was a great disruption. He disrupted the whole world. He's still disrupting the whole world. We still can't get over it. We still have people that can't figure out Yeshua. We've got 38,000 denominations. We got people fighting left and right. They can't figure the guy out. All He's saying is, take my yoke upon me. Take my teachings. I've left them here with you. And you'll learn from me. Learn from me. Get in your prayer closet. Ask me. Ask me. I'll teach you. Maybe I won't give it to you right then. Guess what? When I ask for things, sometimes it comes way down here. I get it 3 weeks later. I'm driving in my car and all of a sudden, oh, that's what that means. That's what that means. And guess what He says? He says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Okay, stop. Stop. Time out. Our master, our teacher, the one that we're an apprentice of, the one we're learning from says, I am gentle and humble in heart. If you're not gentle and humble in heart, stop. We need to go back and we need to find out what's going on. Because that's who He was. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't self-serving. He didn't have to have His way. He wasn't going after His own agenda. He said, I come to do what my Father tells me to do. That's what I do. I come to do the desire of my Father. I come to do the desire of my Father. Wouldn't that be a great thing for us to start each day with? Father, what is it? What is your desire for me today? What can I do, Father, that would please you this day? And you will find rest for your souls. I have an example here. There was a teacher that I was listening to. I don't know if some of you may have heard of him. I don't know. His name's Bob Sorge. But he was he's a worship leader. And anyway, I was listening to him, and he gave an example. And you know when Yeshua was in the Jordan, and he got baptized by John, and it said, and the sky opened, and there was a symbol of a dove, and it came down out of heaven, and it rested on Yeshua. Bob said, you know what? It would be interesting if that dove just came and sat on his shoulder. That dove just kind of sat on his shoulder. And as he was walking through his day and he was walking through life, was the way he conducted himself pleasing so that the Holy Spirit, if he was sitting on your shoulder in the image of a dove, would say, this is a good place to be? Or was it too rocky? Was it too turbulent? Was it too chaotic? Was there too much going on? Was there too much yelling and screaming? Was there too much commotion going on where the dove finally had to say, I'm out of here. I got to go because this is not a peaceful place for me to be. That's a good thing for us to realize. Is my walk pleasing to the Holy Spirit? Are we walking in shalom? Are we walking in peacefulness? Are we exemplifying our master? Or is it chaotic? Is it traumatic? Is it loud? Is it noisy? Is it argumentative? What is our path? What is our halakha? How are we walking this thing out? We are to be apprentices, learning and maturing in the scriptures. You okay? Just okay, small yawn. Okay, we teased Rich about not falling asleep. Did he make it through the Torah portion? All right. All right. Hang in there with me. Hang in there with me. Don't go down. I'll speed up. No, I'm going to speed up. We are to be apprentices, learning and maturing in the scriptures. And then imitating, implying what we've learned in our lives. There's got to be application at some point. And as we grow in Jehovah's word, recognizing good fruit from bad fruit should become more distinct. We should be able to recognize what's good and what's bad. Simply, does the fruit being produced line up with God's word? Does the fruit being produced line up with God's word? And we see this in Matthew 7, 17 through 20. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. All right. Seems pretty clear. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I don't want to be there. Why would I want to be there? So then, by their fruit you will recognize them. By the fruit you'll recognize others. By what kind of fruit they're producing in their life. Is it lining up with His word? Is it lining up with the word of God? And as we meditate, mature in the scriptures, determining the source of the fruit should become more distinct, both within ourselves and with others. We should be able to discern what kind of fruit we're producing. I mean, when I have a conversation with someone, when I spend time with someone, when they leave from that encounter with me, was there good fruit there? Or did they leave thinking that was not so good? And then just the characteristics of other people. I'm not saying in judging them, but what kind of fruit is being produced? Is the fruit drawing them into the Word of God? Is the fruit exemplifying our Messiah, our teacher? I mean, these things at this point in our walk, folks, this should be easy to start discerning now. This should not be hard for us anymore. I mean, we've been in this stuff, years and years. I mean, at this point, we should be able to know, I'm not producing good fruit right now. I mean, I'm being temperamental. I'm being argumentative. I'm being ornery today. I mean, it's just the people that are, there's not good fruit coming out from me. And sometimes I'll give people a warning. I mean, I'll just do them a favor. I need a few minutes because there's going to be some bad fruit come ripping off this tree in just a second. Now take the trash out, or else. We have two kingdoms warring for our allegiance. We're in a spiritual warfare. That's the title of today's message. Don't get scared. I'm going somewhere with it. We have two kingdoms, and they're warring for our allegiance. We have God, Jehovah, through His Son, Yeshua, calling out, saying, "Hey, follow me, follow me, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I've got something for you to do. I've got a plan and a purpose for your life. Come on, follow me. Don't go over there." And we have the adversary. We have Satan. We have the devil. We have the liar and the father of lies. And you know what he's asking? The same thing he asked Yeshua. "Will you bow down and you worship me, and I'll give you all the sensual stuff you want?" It'll be very gratifying for a season. It might be even fun. You might even have a good time for a little while. And those promises are false. And those promises are lies. And he's promising comforts and luxuries of the world. And I can tell you, there's only a few that really get those. The rest is just a false lie from hell. And it's not going to happen. And he's deceiving us. And it's a temptation. And it's a draw. And we need to start discerning that. And with that, we find ourselves in a constant warfare. It's constant. It's every day. It doesn't go away. We should wake up every morning realizing we're in a warfare today. We should never get lax in that. And the warfare, Tommy mentioned it today in the men's prayer time. Tommy back here. The war starts in here first. Before we go out here, before we go out and start our day, before we go out and get in the world, it's here. It's here. First thing. It's a warfare between our fleshly desires. Our flesh wants something. It's constantly asking for it. It's constantly asking for things. It's different for each one of us. And then we have the invitation from our spirit man that says, "Follow me, follow me. Don't go after that." And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that God has given us, cries out to us and says, "Cling to the Father, cling to righteousness today. Don't turn loose of it. Because you're going to get invited to do something else. Don't turn loose of the Father. Don't turn loose of His promises. Hold on to them. It doesn't really matter what's going on out in society. I need you to hold right here." And we've heard the saying before, whichever dog you feed will win the battle. We have this war going in between us. I'm telling you, you continually feed the flesh man. You're going to lean in the direction of your desires and your passions and your emotions. And every little thing's going to set you off. You're feeding yourself with things that aren't the Word. I'm screaming, aren't I? Am I screaming? If you continually feed the flesh man, you're going to lean in the wrong direction. Oh man, it calls you out. It wants its way. It really does. It's a war for me. But you feed the spirit man, and how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, prayer. How do you do that? Fasting. Don't raise your hands. I don't want to know. Are we living a life of fasting, or do we wait one time a year for Yom Kippur, and then we come limping in here, and we can't wait for Oneg, and we're all spiritual, because for 24 hours we didn't eat. One day. I knew a guy one time we were doing in the church we went to. We were doing the Daniel fast in January. And we had the home group. And we had fasted, what, 15 or 16 minutes. And we had the thing over our house. And his wife came in and said, "I won't tell you, he's in the fetal position at home." I said, "We just started this morning. He can't function." I thought, that's been like 9 hours. How often do you eat 9 hours? By fasting, by meditating and studying the Scriptures. We do those things, prayer, fasting, meditating, studying the Scriptures, staying in the Word. And the word I got this morning when I was praying was saturation. Saturation. Are we saturating ourselves in the Scriptures? Are we completely immersed in the Scriptures? Is that everything that we think about during the day? Are we in the Word of God every day? No? Well, we need to be. I'm telling you, we need to be right now. We're going somewhere else. We're going somewhere else. He's taking us somewhere else. Webster's 1828 dictionary that I quote every single service that I've ever done defines warfare as a contest, a struggle with spiritual enemies, a struggle with spiritual enemies. So yes, warfare is a struggle. It's a contest with our spiritual enemies. As each day passes, we're one day closer. As each day passes, we're one day closer. Closer to what? That day. That day. We're 2,000 years further than we were. And as each day passes, we're one day closer. And as we get closer, those birth pangs are starting to happen. And guess what? The struggle's not going to get less. It's not going to start decreasing. It's going to start increasing. We're not going to go back. I know we hope we do. There's a few prosperity preachers out there that have their livelihoods counting on it, but we're not. It's going to look different. It's going to be different. The intensity, the struggle is going to increase. It's going to become more intense. And as disciples of Jehovah's called ones, as His warriors, we should be prepared each day to enter into that struggle. We need to prepare each day to enter into that struggle. We need to become familiar with the tactics of our enemy. And I actually did a teaching on this. It's out on the website if you want to go listen to it again. And it was on August 8th. It's out there. I went and checked. And I did it on knowing your enemy. And I'm not going to take a lot of time on there. It's probably not the best teaching you've ever heard, but it's not the worst. I mean, it's worth listening to. And it gives you the characteristics of our enemy. Well, he's crafty, number one. He's a liar, number two. He operates in a stealth-like position, number three. He actually sends puppets out before him to do his dirty work, and he hides in the corner. He doesn't reveal himself. He doesn't reveal who he is. So he's like a stealth-like person. He wants to operate in the shadows. He doesn't want you to know who he is, but he's getting his puppets to do his dirty work for him, and they take the hit. Oh, he doesn't mind about collateral damage. He'll take you out. He'll take anyone out. It does not matter to him. He does not love you. He does not love you. So we need to understand these things as we prepare. In John 10:10, I think Rhonda mentioned it. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, Yeshua says, I've come that they may have life and have it in His fullness. Our adversary comes for one reason, to kill, steal, and destroy. And that word steal there is that stealth-like word. If you look it up in the Greek, it means stealth-like. So he's hiding. He's clandestine. He's like under the covers. He's not wanting to be recognized. To kill and destroy. And this is so evident today. Have you ever seen anything like it? I mean, just let's be honest. One person disagrees with another person, especially in politics right now. They want to absolutely destroy that person. They want to destroy your character, your financials, your marriage. They'll threaten your kids. They'll threaten your life. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's one thing to disagree with someone. It's another thing to just want to take somebody out. And it's more prevalent than ever. It's a contest between death and life. Yeshua said He came to give life and give it in His fullness. As a reminder, Ephesians 6:12. I'll pick this up. For our struggle is not that. There's a couple times I'm going to say this today. There's scriptures sometimes that we read, and I think they almost become cliche. I mean, I think we've read them so many times that we don't even slow down to really understand what they're trying to say. You know those scriptures? I mean, you've read them so many times, you just kind of read right over them pretty quick, and you just kind of get down to the latter scriptures. But this one's very important. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers in the world's darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And we had an elders meeting about two weeks ago, I guess. And we were talking about heavenly realms. And Mark mentioned, he says, why do we think the heavenly realms are way, way up there? He said, they're right around us, right? They're right around us. So we're dealing in the heavenly realms. We're operating in them. Two kingdoms warned for our allegiance. One is a kingdom of life. The other is a kingdom of death. The difference in the fruit being produced is very distinct, and we should be able to recognize that. Remember, it's a spiritual battle that we are waging, and in doing so, we must be prepared each day to combat those powers of darkness. We must become a spiritual warrior. We must know our enemy. We must know how he operates. Another excerpt from Tom's message. There is no physical battle unless you're spiritually prepared first. The physical battle may not be a physical war. And this is, I really believe this. But hardships, difficulties, attacks on our character, those are the battles that we're facing. We're not slinging bullets. We're dealing with this. We're dealing with hardships that come our way and difficulties that come our way, and then accusing us and wanting to label us as something that we're not. That's what happens. Hey, you're this. If you don't think this way, you're that. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. That's your opinion. That's not what the book says. And I got news for you. It's coming sooner and soon that book, the Bible, is going to be considered hate speech. Because it has things in there that doesn't align to what the world's trying to get past right now and what the world's defining of certain people are.
I got news for you. It already is considered hate speech. You start talking about homosexuality and stuff like that. And quoting the Bible, you are the devil.
There you go. The real men and women of God prepare prior to being called into battle. The real men and women of God prepare. Didn't we talk about preparation today? We were talking about preparation in the men's room today. Being prepared before you get called out into battle. You don't wait till you get into the battle and then start the fight. You prepare long before. Yeshua reminded his disciples in John 15, 18, and 19. He said, guess what, guys? If the world hates you, understand it, and understand that it hated me first. Understand that it hated me, for he was disruptive. When light came into darkness, it freaked out, and it's still freaking out today. He said, well, if you were of the world, and you were accepting and condoning the world, and you were accepting what they're defining people as, and you were accepting all the rhetoric that they're trying to force down our throats, well, then they would love you, because you'd be just like them. Instead, no, the world hates you. It's going to be a contest. It's going to be a battle each and every day. It's going to get worse because you are not of the world. I called you out of that world. I chose you out of the world. You're not like them. I've got you over here. You're consecrated. And Proverbs 29:27 says, an unjust man is detestable to the righteous. And that is so true. How many people's hearts are really broken today when you see what's going on? It's so disturbing. I mean, it's like a gut punch. I mean, me and Patty talk, can you believe this? Can you believe what's going on? I mean, who's embracing this? I mean, what level of depravity have we gotten to as a society that we're embracing this garbage? And people applauding it. It's a detestable thing to us. Well, guess what? It's also a detestable thing to them when a righteous person comes in their presence. We're just as detestable to them, if not more. That's why they want to take us out. We're detestable to the wicked, just as much as they are to us. It's a struggle. It's a warfare. It's light and life against darkness and death. The struggle can come from those in the world. It can come from family members. Hopefully not, but it happens. Just sometimes I'm just trying to live the word out. You can have... Sorry. I'm persuaded that this is the truth. And I love you. That my love does not change for you, but I can't go there anymore. And it can come from religious people. It happened to Yeshua. He was always in fisticuffs with the Pharisees. Some of them, not all of them, were bad. Nicodemus ended up being pretty darn good. There weren't all the Pharisees weren't bad. There were some that had genuine, their motives were pure and they wanted to follow. But it can happen in the religious realm as well, and it happens all the time. And there are many scriptures instructing believers not to embrace the infatuations of the world. And I'd suggest in this case, when I say world, it's actually that realm that we were talking about in Ephesians that operates around us. It's where the adversary operates. The spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And I also found this definition within the Bible tool I use. I use Bible Hub. And this definition for the world came up when I looked it up. The ungodly multitude. The ungodly multitude. The whole mass of men alienated from God. And therefore, they're hostile to the cause of Messiah. Seems like a good definition to me. Is the fruit being produced by those people hostile towards Messiah and His Word? If so, we have our answer about what type of fruit they're producing. It should be very distinct. 1 John 2:15, warning, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't get caught up in the infatuations. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. Romans 12:2. These are like common scriptures that are out there, but we need to saturate ourselves in these. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. After the renewal comes. Because guess what? We still have a lot of garbage we're dealing with. We've got a lot of strongholds that are still keeping us bound up. And the Father wants to release us from that. He wants us to move on. He wants us to saturate in His Scriptures. He wants us to become made new. He wants us to get a new vision of who we are. We need to start letting these things go. We have an instruction of Paul here to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And this needs to be intentional. We're not going to get transformed accidentally. It's not just going to happen because we wish it. It's going to have to be an intentional activity that we have. The word transformed in the Greek is the root for metamorphosis in the English. And I'm so glad I said that. I practiced it today and I slipped up about four times. Metamorphosis. And I knew Holly was going to be here and she's a doctor and everything and I was all nervous. She's a professor, Rich. She would tell me if I had said it wrong or not. She would grade me. She would give me a minus next to whatever grade. Metamorphosis, changing from one form to another. You know a caterpillar, right? And we go into a butterfly. You know how beautiful that is when you see the butterfly? You know, it was a change. They start crawling around on a branch and now they're flying around. It was a change from one thing to another, from one pattern of thinking to another. That's the renewal of the mind. It's a metamorphosis. We need to get made new. So that we don't remember a couple weeks I taught, it's because Aunt Agnes told you were a goober does not mean you were a goober. It's not true. She had the issue. The issue wasn't with you. We're told who we are in the Word of God. She was having a bad day, and it stuck with you for 15 years. You're not a goober. You were selected with a plan and a purpose from God Almighty. That's why you're here today. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. That's why we're here today. We're not here by accident. He wants you here. And after this teaching, I may not see some of you guys ever again, but it was nice to meet you. In Psalms 1, 1 and 2, we have this instruction. Again, familiar passages. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or set foot on the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Don't do it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in his Torah, in his instructions. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Day and night. That's how we get renewed. Joshua 1:8, when he was ready to take him into Canaan. I'm sure he was a nervous wreck, wouldn't you be? I mean, you got a couple million folks, you're going to cross over, you got Jericho sitting over there waiting for you. I mean, I'm sure that was unnerving. It would be for me. He says, hey, Joshua, this is the book of the law. It must not depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will prosper and be successful in all that you do. And then, of course, we have Paul's instruction in Ephesians 6, 13 and 18. Take up the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and we're there, you'll be able to stand your ground. And having done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness arrayed, and with your feet fitted for the readiness of the gospel of peace. Besides all, having taken up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the flaming arrows of Satan and the nasty evil ones, and take the helmet of Yeshua, which is salvation, and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times. It doesn't say pray sometimes. Pray at all times. This is just the word. I'm just reading the word. Don't get mad at me. Pray at all times. Pray at all times. Pray at all times. With every kind of prayer and petition. Father, help me today. Anoint me today. Fill me today. I've got an appointment that I'm not sure how it's going to go. Father, give me the wisdom, the gifts, the Holy Spirit. Father, anoint me. Father, I'm a little worried about something. Take this fear. Father, I rebuke this fear in Yeshua's name. No! To this end, stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert. Don't get sleepy. Don't get sleepy. Wake up. With all perseverance. Wow. If we did nothing but just read verse 18, we could go home. But we won't, because I got a few more pages here. And we've read these scriptures many times, but have we slowed to actually study and saturate ourselves in them? What is Paul actually trying to say? We need to remember that at the time Paul shared this letter with the Ephesians, guess what was still standing? The temple. The temple was still standing. And guess what was still happening? Priests were still serving at the temple. And they were conducting daily sacrifices. That's right. They were tending to the menorah. And they were attending to the altar of incense. That was still happening. They were entering into the holy place to do that. Man. Can you imagine that? Do you ever envision yourself going into that holy place? With the menorah burning and the altar of incense before the veil. And then you had the showbread that for a week sat there and took in the lamp of the Holy Spirit, seven spirits burning before them and soaked in. Can you imagine going in there being that person that got to go into that thing with the gold and everything and the presence of God? Peter teaches us in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. A people of God's own possession. For what? He tells us for what? He tells us for what? To proclaim the virtues of Jehovah. We're to proclaim the virtues of Jehovah, in whom He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's awesome. Think on that. We are as a people of God, to proclaim the virtues of our Father. We're supposed to live these things out. I mean, we're talking about determining good and bad fruit. People should be knowing that we're a little different too, just by the virtues and the light that is coming out of us. Is that happening? You want to be in a warfare? You want to be a testimony to Him? What virtues are coming out? Are people drawn to those virtues? Is there light in there? As a good student, we were to learn this from our teacher, Yeshua. And then we have this in Revelation chapter 1, 4 through 6. John to the seven assemblies in the province of Asia. And this is awesome to me. I mean, I get off on this stuff. I don't know if anyone else does. When I read this stuff, I get a little happy. I might even put on some worship music and stuff every now and then. Grace and peace to you from Him who is... He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still in charge. He still thinks He's God. He's got an inferiority complex. Or superiority complex, not inferiority. Who was and is to come. And from the seven spirits before His throne. And from Yeshua HaMashiach, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. The ruler of the kings of the earth. To the one loving and releasing us from our sins through the blood, who made us to be a kingdom of priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is still sitting, and that's whose kingdom we are a part of. We have come out of darkness and we are in the kingdom of light where He is the ruler of all. So all this stuff that's going on down here, all this noise, He is the ruler of all the kings on the earth. He's the ruler of all the kings of the earth. And I shared about Romans 12:2 that we need to be transformed. Could it be that we need to start seeing ourselves as God's servants, as His priests serving before Him and demonstrating His virtues before a dark world? Could that be who we're supposed to be? And the Father gives very specific instructions to Moses concerning those who would serve Him. And this is back in Exodus 27:20-28:3. And you are to command the Israelites to bring pure oil of pressed olives to the light to keep the lamps burning. I've taught about this before. In the tent of meeting, outside the veil, in front of the testimony, Aaron and his sons are to tend the lamps before the Lord from evening and morning. This is to be a permanent statue for the Israelites for the generations to come. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him and from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And he says to them, make holy garments for your brother Aaron and to give him glory and splendor. You are to instruct the skilled craftsman whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. The Father filled them with the spirit of wisdom so they would know how to make these holy garments to array the priest to come into His presence and serve Him. For Aaron's consecration, to separate him from the rest. We're priests. We're priests in His kingdom. It said it in the Word. Are we operating in the office of a priest? The priest would serve Jehovah and would be arrayed in holy garments. And they were giving instruction to tend and keep the menorah burning continually. And you know the seven lights on the menorah represent the seven spirits that are before God that we just read in Revelation. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, the Spirit of God, power, knowledge, and reverence. Those are the seven spirits. And that menorah represents those seven spirits that burn before His throne room day and night and day. And those are the lights that we're supposed to be kept alive in our hearts and operating with us, in us as priests. And it has to be intentional and it has to be every day. And it illuminates in us, and we expel the virtues of our Father. Man. So in Paul, as Paul encouraged the believers in Ephesus to put on the full armor of God, I'm going to suggest he wasn't referring to Roman armor, but that of priestly garments. Oh, don't say woohoo. I knew you were teaching on that, and I asked Patty about it. And guess what? The priests prepared each day to enter into the holy place. That's right. They were always prepared to enter into the holy place. They were to serve before the throne of God. The garments to be a remembrance. If you read through Exodus 28, there was two things that were going to happen there by putting on the garments. First, they were preparing themselves to serve the holy God. That's the one reason they were putting on those holy garments. You just didn't walk into the holy place casual. You were prepared. You were clothed in the garments that He had prepared for you to serve the Holy One. And then two, they were to remind the priests that they were representing their brothers and sisters. It says it'll be a reminder. You'll have the stones of each tribe. It'll remind you that you're representing them when you come into the holy place. As the priests prepared each day to enter into the holy place, they were to serve before the throne of God. The garments to be a remembrance of the people of Israel. So I'd encourage each of us not to just read over Paul's exhortation in Ephesians, but to actually try to embrace it, to saturate into it with fresh eyes. As you get up every morning, are we putting on the priestly garments like Paul asked us to do? It takes a few minutes. It takes just a few minutes to do that, but you're preparing your day. You're getting your mindset. Hey, I'm representing Him today. I'm here to serve Him. And guess what? I'm representing this house. And I'm representing my brothers and sisters when I go out. Am I a good example of the virtues of my Father in heaven? You can read about those. They're in there. Patience, long-suffering. So right now I'm going to go through some scriptures really quick and I'm almost done. I went through these garments here and I just started looking at them. I just wanted to say, okay, if I'm going to teach on this, I need to just find out a little bit about it. I just cross-referenced scriptures and all I'm going to do is read a bunch of scriptures. Okay, just for a second. We are to put on the full armor of God, Ephesians 6:13. Cross-referencing Romans 13:12. The night is nearly over, the day has drawn near, so let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of our hope, Yeshua. 6:14. Stay firm, put on the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness arrayed. Check this one. Job 29:14. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Justice was my robe and my turban. Psalms 132:9. May your priests be clothed with righteousness and your saints shout for joy. We should be shouting for joy. Amen. We should not be depressed. We serve a mighty high King. Let's do that for some. Father, in Yeshua's name, we give you praise and glory today in this house, Father. We lift up your name, Father. We are delighted, Father, to come into your Shabbat, Father. We thank you that you rule and reign on this earth, Father, and that your Son, Yeshua, Father, is master over all the kings of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
I'm doing the best I can, Rich. Try harder. And your feet fit it with the readiness to make the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6:15. When you look up readiness, it means you're a deliverer.
Yes.
You're taking it somewhere. You're taking the good news somewhere. You're taking it with you somewhere. You're sharing it with other people. Nahum 1:15. Look to the mountains, the feet of the one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your feast, O Judah, fulfill your vows, for the wicked will never come again or march through you. They will be utterly cut off. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Father, today we would like that to happen in Yeshua's name. Father, I pray, Father, right now that darkness will be revealed, Father, that your light will shine and reveal that darkness in this society, Father, in this world, that your name would be glorified. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Getting a little tired of it, to be quite honest with you. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. What are we proclaiming?
I'm so upset with what's going on around here, I can't even function.
No, we proclaim peace. We bring good tidings. We proclaim salvation. We say to Zion, your God reigns.
That's right.
Take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish the lies of that nasty liar. the evil one. You're rebuked in Yeshua's name. Amen. 2 Samuel 22:31. As for God, His ways are perfect. Thank you, Father. We don't need to change Your word. We don't need to alter Your word. We don't need to add to it. You don't need to take away. Your word is perfect. You do not need our help. And He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. 2 Samuel 22:36. For You give me Your shield of Yeshua, salvation, and Your gentleness exalts me. Then I thought I made a mistake. And I put an X there and went and checked it. It's the same exact scriptures, 2 Samuel 22:31. Proverbs 35. For Your word is perfect again. It's a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Psalms 3:3. But You, Lord, are a shield all around me. My glory and the one who lifts my head. Psalms 5:12. For surely, O Lord, bless the righteous. You surround them with shield as a favor. Do you need a shield? Ask the Father, get in His word. He's our shield. He's our protector. That's what He says. Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As Isaiah 59:17. He put on righteousness like a breastplate and helmet of salvation on His head. He put on garments of vengeance and wrapped Himself in a cloak of zeal. Can we get a little more excited every now and then? Like Pinchas? Remember Pincus got a little excited? Okay. I'm trying, Gary. I'm trying. This is as good as it gets. It does not get any better. This is everything I got. Exodus 14:13. Mark. But Moses told the people, do not be afraid of the Egyptians. Stand firm and you will see the Lord's Yeshua. Isn't that awesome? So I've been praying, Father, let Your Yeshua be glorified in all the earth. Let Your Yeshua come forth in all the earth. That's my prayer this morning, Father. Let Your Yeshua come. Amen. Bring Him again, Father. Demonstrate Him. Let Your light shine, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see, you ain't going to see anymore. Amen. I mentioned earlier that spiritual warfare, and yes, I'm almost done. Spiritual warfare will come from the world. It will come occasionally, sometimes, maybe more than we like, from family members. We still love you guys. And those that consider themselves religious. It will come through hardships. It will come through difficulties. It will come from others attacking our character. That will come from people that will never, ever, ever, ever let us live down our past. It's a continual rewind. When you get around, do you remember when? Yes. I've been delivered from that. I'm a new person. Do you remember you said? Yes. I remember. I repented of that. Do you remember? Yes. It was stupid. I've repented of that too. Father, have mercy on my soul. And He does. And He does. This certainly happened to Yeshua. And the reason He cautioned His disciples in John 15:16, you can go read it later. He was telling them. He was telling them what was going to happen to them. It's not the prettiest thing to read. And I get hesitant to put these things in my messages because sometimes they're not very pleasant. And I always give enough sternness sometimes. And I just, you know, but you have to read what He says is going to happen. He's warning them. He's warning them. But in all the pressures and the warfare Yeshua faced, He never lost who He was in the Father. He never lost who He was in the Father. He knew who He was. And we need to know who we are when we face the spiritual warfare. We've got to be fully persuaded, like Paul says in some of his scriptures. I am fully persuaded. I mean, I don't even doubt this stuff anymore. I mean, I'm not even going there. If you want to take me there, I'm not going there. You can try to bring me there, but no thank you. I've been there. I'll take this. I'll take what His word says. He was to exemplify the virtues of His Father. So were we. We are supposed to be His apprentices. We're supposed to be His disciples. He was here to do His Father's desire. So are we. That's our call as priests. To to put on his priestly garments and to proclaim the good news. That's what we're supposed to do. You were talking about that in the men's thing. We're worrying about this ministry, and he's saying you're not even proclaiming the good news to anyone. You're not even exemplifying the virtues of the Father. The apprentice, upon completion of his study, would duplicate, be a copy, or an imitation of the skills and the knowledge of the original teacher under whom he studied. Who are you studying? Who are you identifying with? Who are you imitating? Who has been an example to you? Don't look at man. Don't look at us. Certainly don't look at anybody teaching up here. I mean, Patty lives with me. She knows the truth. Him. 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 Not man. A spiritual warrior prepares long before there is a battle. A spiritual warrior prepares long before there is a battle. A spiritual warrior clothes himself each day with the garments of God, consecrating himself for the service of the Holy One. And in doing that, you shared with me just in your email, that did they ever take the garments off? Was there any need to take the garments off? If you're going into the holy place to serve the Holy One, should we not keep our garments of our priestly garments on all the time? A spiritual warrior is alert with the capability of determining the quality of the fruit that we're encountering. That would be a good spiritual warrior. We need to be able to determine the fruit. And we're alert. We're alert and we prepare each and every day. I'm encouraging you guys to do that. I don't know what that means to you, but it needs to mean something. Every single day. Today's not a day to take time out on that. If you, whatever time you have, it has to be something. A spiritual warrior is alert with the capability of determining the quality of fruit. And my very last thing, right here, and we're done. It's a quote from Sun Tzu. Sun Tzu, The Art of War, because we're in a spiritual warfare. Victorious warriors win first, then they go to war. Victorious warriors win first, and then they go to war. While defeated warriors go to war first, and then they seek to win. Ain't going to happen. Father, in Yeshua's name, I just thank you today, Father, for your Holy Spirit, for your word, Father, that prepares us for spiritual battles, Father, for warfare. Father, let us realize, Father, that our covering, Father, comes from you. You are our shield, Father. You are our helmet of salvation. You're our protector. You're our strong tower. You are our refuge. Your word is truth. Your covenant never ends, Father. Your laws go forever and ever. Yeshua, you came, Father, to give us life and more abundantly, Father. We walk in that life. Father, you instructed Paul to say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Father, we ask for that help for our minds to be transformed. Father, your word says that we have the mind of Yeshua. Let us operate as Yeshua operated, Father. Your word says that we don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and love and soundness in our thoughts, Father. Help us operate in the soundness of our thoughts, because that's where the war is starting for most of us, Father. Heal us, cleanse us, deliver us from ourselves. And then we can help others. Father, help us to be obedient, Father, preparing each and every day as your priests, Father, as they would come in. And Father, light your menorah, Father, your seven spirits that are forever burning before your throne, Father. Let us see that. Let that menorah light within our hearts, Father, so that we can, Father, be an example of the virtues of the Most High, Father. We won't do it perfectly, but help us. Father, the lesson today said that Yeshua was gentle and kind. Father, there's gentleness, Father. There's kindness. There's meekness. Father, you are awesome, and I asked today that you would meet each. And hey, Father, we drove out here. We made the time. We were honoring your Shabbat. I'm reminding you of that. Abraham reminded you sometimes, Father, of things, Father, about scriptures. Moses certainly did. Father, so I'm reminding you, Father, that we made the effort. We came, Father. We want to hear from you. We want to be refreshed in you today, Father. We want to be filled afresh with fresh oil, Father. We want to be encouraged in your word, Father. We want to know that this is not the end of the story. It's the beginning, and you're getting us somewhere, Father. And there's going to be glory in that, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory at House of Scripture. Father, I ask for an anointing on each person, Father, a filling, Father, a time of refreshing, a time of encouraging, Father, a time of healing. And Father, that we don't look, I know we have to live in it, but Father, don't let us just be immersed in the worldly affairs. Let us be saturated in your word, Father. Let us shift from, Father, worldly concerns, and let us just saturate ourselves in your word. Let us just meditate on what it means to put on our priestly garments, Father, the helmet of salvation, the helmet of Yeshua, to protect our mind and our thoughts, Father, to come against the fiery darts of that nasty, foul, demonic liar, Father, in Yeshua's name, and we rebuke him today, Father, in Yeshua's name. I thank you that no weapon formed against any member of this congregation will prosper, Father. That it will fall flat, Father, because we look to you as our source, Father. Father, I praise you. I hope I did okay, Father. I just wanted to encourage all of us, Father, to be prepared, to be warriors, Father, to keep our mind on you, because you go before us, Father. The battle is yours. You'll go before us, Father. We'll be victorious in you, Father. And even if we have to go through some hardship, Father, you're still there. You were there with Joseph. And when he came out even better. Help us come out better, Father. Help us come out better. In Yeshua's name, I give you praise and glory. And this house said, amen. 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 Amen.